Welcome to Quantum of Solace, and this is a post-election special. It's the morning after the morning after the night before. I sadly find myself dreaming about Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. So I got up out of bed and went down and astonishingly found myself, as did the rest of the world, looking at the prospect of a President Trump. Despite 98 out of 100 newspapers in the US being against him, despite much of his own party being against him, despite much of the world being against him, despite the whole media establishment being against him, Donald Trump has managed to be elected President of the United States. Now, if a year ago and said something like a reality TV star is going to be elected President of the United States, I think even then people would have laughed. But it's happened. And it's happened when you look at the map just quite extraordinarily, because if you remove California from the equation and New York, then the United States largely, hugely voted for Trump. I realize that Hillary will probably just have the popular vote, which is about 50-50. But he certainly is going to have the electoral vote, and he certainly is going to be the president. And that has sent shockwaves around the world. It's sent shockwaves in terms of American politics. At the time of recording, there are people protesting in American cities. Although it has to be said that the graciousness of President Obama's speech and the wisdom of it, and indeed Trump's own acceptance speech, indicates perhaps things are not as disastrous as some might fear. So that's it. We are going to have a President Trump, and even saying the words, I'm still astonished. Who are we to blame for this, if you want to blame somebody? One of the more amusing things of the past couple of days has been watching the liberal media in absolute meltdown. It really is quite funny. Someone like Mike Moore, for example, predicted this. But reading The Guardian and others, they're just in total shock. And in some cases, it's like the first stage of grief. They're in denial. One particular thing I want us to think about, and that is this. Was it the uneducated white working class? Males, older. Because that's who gets blamed. Now, there's racism in that comment. There's ageism in that comment. But it doesn't matter. That's who we're going to blame. They're thick redneck. Now, you can't say redneck because it's Michigan and it's Ohio and it's Wisconsin. But elderly white working class males. The big thing I want to focus on is, first of all, how wrong that is. Around 30% of Hispanics voted for Trump. 42% of women voted for Trump. Actually, more Hispanics voted for Trump than voted for Mitt Romney, which is just, to me, an astonishing statistic. But there's a very interesting thing here from a Christian worldview perspective. This idea of the fact that college-educated people voted for Hillary, and those who didn't were by implication thickos. Now the pillar of dust that is holding you up is crashing down around you now and poisoning your mind. Let's just take this phrase, college educated. I've been thinking about that a lot, and I want to suggest to you something, and, you know, let's take some time to reflect on this over the next couple of weeks. But I want to suggest to you that college educated doesn't actually mean what we think it means. It means college indoctrinated. You're getting a situation now in the United States and also here. I was at a debate at the University of Aberté a couple of weeks ago. And one man there said he was a Trump supporter. And he said, I'm on my own in this university of thousands. And the whole system is designed against any way that I think. And it's all groupthink. I think he has a point. College educated in the US and here largely does mean indoctrination. I think it also means, and excuse the alliteration, infantilization. So it's all about emotion. It's all about safe spaces. It's all about, you're going to hurt me. And so you get people crying because Hillary wasn't elected. They feel as though they're personally attacked.
I need Hillary to stand up right now and walk in and sue the United States of America.
Did you ever feel like a call in the night? Good idea, late to waste and left untried. Now the pillar of dust that is holding you up is crashing down.
Do you know, here's an astonishing thing. I've had people contact me and say that their children are scared because Donald Trump is going to become president. These are children who hardly know where the United States is. But it's what they're being fed in the media. And that same thing is happening amongst older children. Infantilized students who believe that the end of the world is due because Donald Trump has been elected president.
It looks like Donald Trump won fair and square.
How did he win fair and square? Hillary had more votes. More human beings voted for Hillary. This isn't fair. We didn't get one vote. You didn't get a vote. It's just like back in the day when your vote was one third.
So the Electoral College, you're somebody who wants to blow that up. You want to get rid of the Electoral College?
Just count the votes. It's ridiculous. Hillary, you're a lawyer. Walk in. Go to the Supreme Court. I believe in you, Hillary. I've been to Rwanda. I've been to your hospital in Rwanda. I've seen all the good you've done. Well, I believe in you. Women need you. Minorities need you. I need you. Chicago needs you. We all need you. This country needs you to stand up and walk into the Supreme Court and say one vote equals one vote. What's wrong with that? What's the debate?
21st century breakdown. How much was left and never was found.
This is not about reasoning. This is not about being educated. It's not about intelligence. It's about emoting. And that's why you get some really crazy things, like people going on the streets saying, we want to uphold democracy by preventing the democratic leader of the country being inaugurated. And that's the third eye. The first eye is indoctrination. The second eye is infantilization. The third eye is intolerance. People riot in the name of peace. They hate in the name of love. It really is quite extraordinary. That same thing, it's the same process. People like to go, oh, it's Brexit. And you know what they're doing when they say this? It's Brexit. What they're saying is the thickos. It's the thickos what won it. We, the intelligent, college-educated people. And I have to tell you this. I have met students who haven't read a book. Don't take college-educated to mean intelligent. College-educated in the US and here, it just simply means indoctrinated into a liberal worldview. That's a huge issue, and we need to think about it a whole lot more.
Hello, it's me. I was wondering if after all these years you'd like to meet to go.
Let's talk about Scotland's mature reaction. We have a comedian called Gary Tank Commander, and he interviewed Scotland's leaders a while ago, asking about if Donald Trump became president, would you deal with him or would you dingy him? Dingy him being basically it. You know, nothing to do with him.
What will you do if Donald Trump gets into power? Will you deal with him or dingy him? Deal with him or dingy him? Deal with him or dingy him?
I think America will dingy him before I do.
Dingy.
Would you?
Categoric dingy. Yeah, I've said that already on the telly. The guy's an arse.
Would you pick up the phone and then he'd say stuff and you'd refuse to speak to him?
Like, cheery bye.
I would dingy him.
You would dingy him?
Even though he's in charge of America.
I'd like to dingy him before he got into power.
Would you?
I don't believe that he will ever be president of the United States. I have too much faith in the wisdom of crowds. I don't think the Americans will ever elect him president.
Hello from the other side. I must have called 1,000 times to tell you I'm sorry for everything that I've done. But when I call, you never seem to be home.
Hello. And that's what I was talking about in the previous section, that there's this infantilization, this immaturity that exists. Whether we like it or not, Nicola Sturgeon was quite happy to sit down with the leadership of China. And I suspect they may be a lot worse in terms of human rights terms than Donald Trump. We sit down with leaders from different countries. Now, Theresa May, the British Prime Minister, has shown far more maturity in dealing with that. But why is it okay for someone like Kezia Dugdale, who's a leader of a political party in Scotland, to use crass and crude language about Donald Trump because Donald Trump is crass and crude? Again, it doesn't make sense. It's the irrational, it's the immature, and also it is the intolerant. So I think I'm concerned about what this has shown. It may be that in the United States we can say that politics is becoming infantilized. But I'm afraid in Scotland I don't think we are any better. And I hope that our politicians will grow up a wee bit and handle this situation a whole lot better. One last thing, and let's just think about a Christian response to all of this. First of all, let me say to our politicians who have just critiqued, we've all been there, we've all done that, we've all said things that we wish we hadn't said, Mr. Trump as well, and so we all have to apologise and repent of what we've said, and it gives us an opportunity to learn from our mistakes and to be a little bit more mature. Secondly, let's think about those Christians who think, whoa, this is brilliant, the Messiah has arrived.
America is saved. We are saved. We are going to make it now.
Donald Trump, he's going to put people on the Supreme Court. He's going to do this. Well, I have to say, I was very impressed with Mike Pence's statement, which did give all the appearance anyway of being genuine, committed Christian. Mr. Trump, no. And we should never trust in anyone as some kind of surrogate Messiah. We wait and see. We do for Mr. Trump what we do for everyone, every other leader, is that we pray for them and we pray that we'd be able to live lives in all peace and godliness. But what about those Christians? And again, I've seen so many do this, who think that Donald Trump is the demon from hell who's come to destroy the world, the most dangerous thing to human beings that's happened in 100 years. I mean, you hear all these kinds of things. And again, people need to calm down. God is on the throne. And I realize there are Christians who go, yeah, but that doesn't mean. Yeah, but it does mean. It does mean. It doesn't mean that God elected Donald Trump. But it does mean that the Lord has not lost control. And so don't demonize one individual because of media and everything else. Just pray.
Humble me, Lord.
And speaking of that, I do think that needs to be our reaction. My own church, the Free Church, has called for a national day of prayer on St. Andrew's Day, November the 30th, here in Scotland. And I've been delighted that other churches have said they want to join in that. We were going to pray for Scotland, but of course we'll pray for America. We'll pray for Mr. Trump. We'll pray for Clinton. We'll pray for Putin and others. We've got a whole day. It's a great thing to do. Can I encourage those who are listening to this podcast, can I invite you, if you'd like to join with us in doing that, if you'd like to take some time on that day or even the whole day to fast and to pray? People say, what good does that do? Well, I don't think it's a simple thing as kind of like you put in your prayer and out comes the answer that you want, like God is some kind of slot machine. But let me just simply say this. 5 years ago, this month, I was in hospital in a coma around this date. and I was going up and down, but I was expected to die. My church asked that on one particular Sunday, every church would stop what it was doing about 12 o'clock and would make it a matter of prayer to pray for me. You can call it coincidence, but from that day, I got better, bit by bit. But it was from that day that my recovery was done. And I do think that there is something in collective prayer. Here's the thing. In all the anger, in all the angst, in all the joy, in all the ups and downs, in all the Twitter hate fests and everything else that goes on, in the thousands and thousands of pages of analysis, in the podcasts, in everything else, all of us have to bow the knee and say, we don't know really what's going on. We don't know what's going to happen, but the Lord does. And so we implore the Lord. Now that is how Christianity and politics meet. That's where Christians come in. We pray for our politicians, whoever they are. We obey what the Bible says in respect of them, and we do respect them, and we pray that God would bless America, that God would bless Donald Trump and Obama and Clinton, that God would bless the United Kingdom and the West and China and Africa and so on. And we can be fervent in prayer as we pray for kings and those in authority, because we're praying to the King of Kings. God bless you. See you next week. Yo. We're part of a culture that really loves to hate us. Every chance they get, they attempt to isolate and debate us. It's not that they don't like us, it's just they don't like God in us. It's common knowledge, and oddly enough, it makes a lot of sense to a lot of us. We completely understand because we used to occupy the same space and lived in a similar type state until we tasted of God's grace. So we continue loving this world that so easily rejects us and passionately press past the lack of their cultural acceptance. And as if there weren't enough problems for us gaining influence, we keep fighting over the issue of what's too worldly of a Christian to make a difference. So no matter how you paint it or politically campaign it, whether you water it down and drain it, it's really all the same, ain't it? It's the same frustration, same constant segregation. Christians living like aliens trying to relate with citizens of a different nation. What always makes for a better presentation than bark and bite is a proper understanding of living life filled with salt and light. So we walk this fine line of walking in light of God's kindness and live with a sense of worldliness without the fear of compromising. Loving God and neighbor until Christ comes to split the sky or die in a society hailing Jesus as Messiah. Yep.